Devata Santamang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Saga Mokadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanda Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanda Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanda Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa Today, I'd like to share with you Sutta 22 from Nikha Nikaya Maha Satipatthana Sutta. It's not from Majjhima Nikaya. In Majjhima Nikaya, there's one sutta called Satipatthana Sutta. But in Nikha Nikaya, it's called Maha, Great. And great discourse of for a foundation of mindfulness. And what is the difference between these two suttas? In Maha Satipatthana Sutta, Buddha explained in very detail about the four noble truths. And in Satipatthana, it's very short explanation of four noble truths. And today, since our time is very short, so I'd like to explain to you the noble truth of the origin of suffering and the noble truth of the cessation of the suffering. These two truths. Okay. And in the noble truth of the origin of suffering, in Pali, we call Samudaya Satya. Samudaya Satya. The meaning of Samudaya is the cause of ever continuing this mind and body process. The cause of ever continuing of this mind and matter process. This is called Samudaya Satya. Then how Buddha explained this Samudaya Satya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering? And Buddha said, it's almost become fixed formula. It is that craving which gives rise to rebirth, bound up with pleasure and lust, finding fresh delight now, here, now, there. That's to say, sensual craving, kama tanha, craving for existence, bhava tanha, and craving for non-existent, vibhava tanha. Most of us are familiar with these three types of craving. However, we have to go into a little bit detail about the kama tanha. Okay. Sensual craving. Buddha compared, and since we are living in this sensual world, there are three worlds in this universal. One is sensual world, another one is rupa, the world, material world, and the top one is immaterial world. And those who have jhana only stay in material world and immaterial world. And we, as a human beings, we stay in a sensual world. Since we stay in a sensual world, and it almost becomes, it becomes our habit to chase after sensual pleasures, right? So, to the six sense senses, we chase after external six sense object. And this is very common. This is our common practice. And no one can deny of it. So from the moment we wake up until we fall asleep, our eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind keep on chasing after external sense object. And if we cannot get the central object, our mind becomes very restless. Therefore, Buddha compared a central craving is like a dog afflicted by an ulcer. And it was bitten, the ulcer was bitten by maggots. So the dogs become very irritable and very restless because this ulcer is constantly bitten by maggots. Similarly, our mind, this central craving make our mind very irritable and very restless because it keep on chasing after, run after central object one after another. This is called central craving. Okay, and later we will continue. Now we come to the second type of craving, we call craving for assistance, bhava tanha. I have explained many times this craving for assistance, but today I would like to quote what Lady Xiaodo explained, the meaning of craving for assistance, bhava tanha. Lady Xiaodo said that craving for existence is having delight in the jhana attained by oneself. Usually I explain craving for existence means craving for being alive associated with wrong view of eternalism. A person think that it's the same person who undergo the samsara life after life. So he doesn't want to parinibbana, he want his self continue to be alive one after another, one life after another. This is how I explain craving for existence. But Lady Xiaodo explained it as having delight in the jhana attained by oneself. Okay? And the third type of craving is called craving for non-existence. And craving for non-existence, according to Lady Xiaodo, he explained having delight in wrong view of self-annihilation. So it's not only self-annihilation, it is delighted in the wrong view of self-annihilation. However, this craving for non-existence is not applicable in Buddhist circle because we all know we have rebirth. So long we have ignorance, so long we have craving, we have rebirth. Therefore, craving for non-existence is not our concern. We concern more craving for sensual pleasures and craving for assistance. Okay? Now comes another important question. According to this Dikha Nikaya, Buddha said, and since craving is the origin of all suffering, anyone who are keen to bring to the end of suffering must thoroughly understand this origin of suffering, which is craving. Therefore, Buddha posed very important question. And where does this craving arise and establish itself? Please pay careful attention. Craving is the origin of all suffering. And why we practice the Dharma? Because we understand, with this practice, we will bring the end of all suffering. Therefore, to bring to the end of suffering, we must understand the origin of suffering and tackle the origin of suffering, right? Therefore, Buddha posed this important question for you. And where does this craving arise and establish itself? Then Buddha answered himself, wherever in the world there is anything agreeable and pleasurable, there this craving arises and establishes itself. So anything agreeable, not disagreeable. Anything pleasurable, enjoyable, not something not enjoyable. If the food is not enjoyable, then it cannot trigger our craving, right? And because food is enjoyable, therefore it triggers our craving. Therefore, Buddha said, anything agreeable and pleasurable, there this craving arises and establishes itself. Okay? Then Buddha asked again, and what is there in the world that is agreeable and pleasurable? You see, Buddha teach step by step. So in this world, what is there in the world that is agreeable and pleasurable according to your own experience? Nothing agreeable to you?
Six external objects.
What are the six external objects? But before we talk about six external objects, we should talk about the six internal objects first. Right? Without six internal objects of eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body and mind, then six external objects do not bring meaning to us, right? Therefore, Buddha said, the eye in the world is agreeable and pleasurable, our eyes, and our ears, nose, tongue, and body, the mind in the world is agreeable and pleasurable, and there this craving arises and establishes itself. All these are very important information for you, for anyone who want to get rid of suffering in the samsara. Okay, but we must understand this six sense objects are materiality, right? Materiality. Later on, we will go to the mentality. And since we have eyes, why we attach to our eyes? Why we attach to eyes?
Because we think that they will
be able
to
our pages. We attach to eyes because the eyes can see agreeable sight. The man's eye, when you have eyes, you can see beautiful woman, right? Therefore, the eyes very pleasant, very pleasurable. And for woman also, you have the eyes, you can see cosmetic, you can see gold, you can see good-looking man. So your eyes can see whatever thing that appear agreeable to you. Therefore, we attach to our eyes, right? Not only attach to seeing, we call seeing consciousness, but we attach to the physical eyes as well. Therefore, somebody want to go for eye operation to make the eye bigger or got what this. I don't know how to call it. To try to make the eye looks beautiful. This physical eye. So we are not only attached to the physical eyes itself, we also attached to the seeing. Without eyes, we cannot see. So we also attached to the eye consciousness, which is agreeable and pleasurable. Okay, before we go to the eye consciousness, then let's talk about the six external objects. We attach to eyes because the eyes can see sight, can see form.
We attach to sound. We attach to ear because the ear can hear sounds, can hear pleasurable and agreeable sounds. Right? Let me give an example. During Buddha's time, there was a prostitute called Sirima. Sirima is very famous and very, very beautiful, and she was also devoted to the teaching of the Buddha. And she is very generous, so therefore, every day, she invited many monks to come to her house and perform house dana. And after all this monk attended her house dana, when they back to the monastery, they will talk about how beautiful is this Sirima. They will talk about how beautiful Sirima was. And then one monk who had never been invited to Sirima's house heard about the beauty of Sirima. Just by hearing, his ear just heard the beauty of Sirima, then he developed longing to see this prostitute Sirima. So you see, the sound also can. The sound is pleasurable, then the ear start to attach to it. So one day, it's his turn to go to accept the food in Sirima's house. So at the time, Sirima was very sick. However, out of respect for the monk, she still get up from the bed and serve the monk personally. And when this monk, she invited many monks, and this monk who longed to see Sirima and saw Sirima, the moment his eye contact come to the sight of this beautiful Sirima, he said, "My alas." Even she was sick, she looked so beautiful. Not to speak when she was healthy, you know. So she developed a lot of craving, strong craving towards Sirima. And when he went back to the monastery, he became very sick of love. So you see how the eyes attach to the sight. So whenever Buddha say, when sight, sounds, smells, tastes, and tangible and mind object in the world are agreeable and pleasurable, and there this craving arises and establishes itself. And because the sight of Sirima is agreeable and pleasurable, therefore the craving arises in the monk's mind. If the Sirima looks very ugly, I don't think the monk will long for her. Therefore, Buddha say, anything that's agreeable and pleasurable, these two important words you must remember. Anything that's not disagreeable, anything that is disagreeable cannot arise craving. So, except apart from the six sense, internal sense bases, with external sense bases, also cause craving to arise and establish itself. And okay, next, as I said, eyes is only physical. So in order to see the beautiful sight, we need consciousness. So when the eye come to contact with the beautiful sight, eye consciousness arises. So eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, and mind consciousness in the world is agreeable and pleasurable, and then this craving arises and establishes itself. And owing to the coming together of the basis, internal basis and external object, and the consciousness, the coming together, these three basis, object, and consciousness is called contact. So eye contact, if the eye is there, then I see the sight, then eye consciousness arises. So this three coming together of this three is called eye contact. Similarly, ear contact, nose contact, tongue contact, body contact, and mind contact in the world is agreeable and pleasurable. And there, this craving arises and establishes itself. Okay? So after contact, what happened? For example, just now, the cinema's eyes come to contact with the beautiful sight of, the monk's eyes come to contact with cinema's beautiful sight. Then what happened to him? Feeling, pleasant feeling arises, right? Therefore, feeling born of eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, tongue contact, body contact, mind contact in the world, is agreeable and pleasurable, and there this craving arises and establishes itself. You see, and the craving can arise anywhere, from the eyes, from the sight, from the seeing, from the contact, from the feeling. Therefore, it's very difficult to tackle this craving unless you really protect your mind. Otherwise, craving can arise anytime, any moment. And later on, and especially this feeling, because all beings seek for pleasant feelings. All beings, we come to this world, all beings seek for pleasant feeling. Eye contact, because it triggers pleasant feeling. And bodily contact, like opposite sex bodily contact, also because it triggers very pleasant feeling. Therefore, all beings seek for this pleasant feeling. And because it's so important, this pleasant feeling, therefore, it becomes one of the four foundations of mindfulness. Contemplation on feelings. Without contemplation on feelings, then the feeling will trigger craving. And craving is exactly the origin of all suffering. Therefore, in order to tackle the craving, we should tackle the feeling first. Now, whatever feeling, pleasant feeling arises in us, we have to note mind affected by feeling as mind affected by pleasant feeling. Pleasant feeling is impermanent, it's non-self. Only then we will not become victim of the pleasant feeling. Okay? The next one, the perception of sights, the perception of sounds, smells, tastes of tangible mind object in the world is agreeable and pleasurable, and there this craving arises and establishes itself. We perceive the sight, the perception of sight. So the perception of the sixth sense object itself also can cause craving to arise. And next, volition. Volition in regard to sights, sounds, smells, tastes, and tangible mind object in the world is agreeable and pleasurable, and there this craving arises and establishes itself. What is this volition? Volition means wanting to get it. Let me come back to the story of cinema. So when the monk, when his eye come to contact with the beautiful sight of cinema, then when he went back to his monastery, he became very ill because of love, sick. He's sick for love. So, and he became very emaciated because he wanting to see cinema again, his volition. Wanting to see cinema again. However, after a few days, Shirima died. And this monk still did not know. Shirima had died. Still long for Shirima. And become very emaciated. Cannot meditate at all. And Buddha want to save him. So one day, Buddha tell the people, don't bury Shirima first. Take her corpse to the cemetery. And Buddha brought all the monks to the cemetery, and together with a group of lay people. and they ask, anyone want to sleep with Sri Ma one night, 1,000? At that time, no one. Before that, one night, 10,000 also, you have to wait for long queue. Now, 1 month, 1 day, one night, 1,000, nobody want. Then Buddha lowered the price until free of charge. Still, nobody want to sleep with Sri Ma. Who want to sleep with the goats? So only at that time, and the monks start to realize impermanence of this body. And he was recovered, finally. By the skillful means of Buddha, he was recovered from his unseemly sickness for love. Okay. So it's called volition. Volition means wanting to get. So if you want to get, then you have to act, right? Otherwise, how can you get? For example, you want to get money. You cannot sit there, I want to get money without doing anything. So wanting to get, then you have to act. And this act is called karma in the Buddhist teach, in the teaching of the Buddha. In karma. Karma. So karma, as we know, once karma performed, it leaves behind karmic energy. And when this karmic energy meet with favorable condition, it will produce new rebirth. Therefore, volition in regard to sights, sounds, smell, taste, and tangible in the world is agreeable and pleasurable, and there this craving arises and establishes itself. Okay, next one. Another one is craving itself. The craving for sights, sounds, smells, taste, tangible, mind, objects in the world is agreeable and pleasurable, and there this craving arises and establishes itself. This is very easy. Once your mind craves for it, then of course craving arises and becomes stronger and stronger. And the next one, when your mind, when you start to develop craving to sight, sound, smell, and so on, and yet you do not get the thing you long for, then your mind start to think, frequently think of it, right? Just like a monk. After he saw the Sri Ma, when he went back to the monastery, keep on thinking of Sri Ma. So thinking of sights, sounds, smells, taste, tangible, and mind object in the world is agreeable and pleasurable, and there this craving arises and establishes itself. So thinking itself also causes craving to arise. But sometimes one thinking not enough, right? The mind is very wide. The mind does not listen to us. So we think only one thinking is stop. No. One thinking, then second thinking, third thinking, it becomes pondering. Ponder over the sight, the smell, the person, the thing you want, again and again. And pondering, and because of that, craving arises and establishes itself. Okay? So, from here you can understand, craving can arise, depend on a six internal object, six external object, or six consciousness, then some more feelings. Craving can arise depend on contact, which is agreeable and pleasurable. Then craving can arise depend on perception, volition, craving itself, and thinking and pondering. Then Buddha said, and that monk is called the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Okay, now we come to the noble truth of the cessation of suffering. Please listen carefully what Buddha said. And what monks is the noble truth of the cessation of suffering? Buddha tells us the origin of the suffering. Now Buddha told us the truth of the cessation of suffering. Is the complete fading away and extinction of this craving. is forsaking and abandonment, liberation from it, from this craving, and detachment from this craving. So since craving is the origin of suffering, in order to bring the suffering to the end, we have to abandon this craving. Otherwise, the cessation of suffering cannot come about. And Buddha said, and how? How is important, huh? And how does this craving come to be abandoned? How does its cessation come about? Okay? I think you are eager to know the answer, right? And let us see what Buddha answered. Wherever in the world there is anything agreeable and pleasurable, there is cessation comes about. How can you understand this sentence? How to practice? Initially, Buddha said, where does this craving arise and establish itself? And Buddha said, wherever in the world there's anything agreeable and pleasurable, there this craving arises and establishes itself. And now Buddha said, wherever in the world there's anything agreeable and pleasurable, there its cessation comes about. How can we understand? How to put into practice? Jiang Hong?
We need to consider all the objects as well as the craving itself is nichan dukkha.
Very good. Excellent. So if you don't understand the practice itself, by reading what Buddha said, you cannot understand. Because Buddha said, craving arises when there's thing agreeable and pleasurable. And Buddha also said, the cessation of suffering cease on everything that's agreeable and pleasurable, right? It sounds like there's conflict. Therefore, if you understand the practice, you immediately understand what Buddha meant. And Buddha said, and how this craving come to be abandoned? And Buddha said, wherever in the world there is anything agreeable and pleasurable, there is cessation comes about. And what is there in the world that is agreeable and pleasurable? What? You know already. Buddha already mentioned. Six internal basis, six external object, then contact, feeling, consciousness. Then he said, the eye in the world is agreeable and pleasurable, and the six sense object, and there this craving comes to be abandoned, there is cessation come about. So in order to understand, because Buddha didn't give answer directly, so we are lost. How to practice? How to bring the craving to the cessation? Therefore, you need to quote other sutta to support this sutta. So to quote other sutta, I will quote Samyutta Nikaya. One sutta from Samyutta Nikaya 22, inner exploration. And what Buddha said, what Buddha said exactly answer this question. Buddha said, whatever ascetics and Brahmins in the past, present and future regard that in the world with a pleasant and agreeable nature as impermanent, as suffering, as non-self, as a disease, as fearful, then they abandon craving. In abandon craving, they abandon acquisition. Acquisition means five aggregates. And in abandoning acquisition, they abandon suffering. So how to abandon suffering? Buddha said it very clearly. You must regard that in the world with a pleasant and agreeable nature as impermanent, anicca, 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 vanishing, vanishing, impermanent, impermanent. You have to contemplate as suffering, suffering. You have to contemplate as non-self, non-self, as a disease, as fearful. Then you can abandon craving. For example, if just now a monk, the monk who fall in love with Sirima, if his eye contact come with the Sirima, the sight of Sirima, if he can immediately contemplate anicca, seeing anicca, feeling anicca, his perception towards Sirima, also anicca, impermanent, suffering, suffering, then he will not be beset by craving. But when his eye come to contact with the beautiful Sirima, then he contemplate it as, oh, beautiful, beautiful, agreeable, agreeable, pleasant, pleasant. Of course, his craving arises more and more until he fell sick, right? Therefore, how you regard things, how you perceive things, how you regard things is very important. Whether to bring to the craving, whether to make craving more and more, or whether to bring craving into cessation. The only thing you can bring craving to cessation, according to what Buddha, the message of Buddha is to regard all things in the world, especially the thing that have nature of agreeable, pleasurable, as impermanent, not as permanent. As permanent, and you develop more and more craving. For example, you have very pleasant feeling, and you think your pleasant feeling is permanent. You think your pleasant feeling is happiness, and you think your pleasant feeling as myself. Of course, craving will arise more and more. No doubt about it. So in order to abandon, and when you develop craving more and more, once the pleasant feeling change, because everything is subject to change. So once the pleasant feeling you long, you attach to, change, then suffering comes, sorrow, lamentation comes. Right? So from what Buddha say, we regard that in the world with a pleasant and agreeable nature as impermanent, suffering, non-self, as a disease, as fearful, then we abandon craving. So from this perspective, from what Buddha's answer, we understand the correct way of practicing is to let go of craving by perceiving everything that has a pleasant and agreeable nature as impermanent suffering, non-self, and so on. This is the correct way of practicing. Okay. So Buddha continue to tell one by one six sense objects, six sense spaces, six types of consciousness, then six types of feeling, six types of contact, then six types of perception, six types of craving, then thinking and pondering, right? Then Buddha said, so pondering on sights, sounds, smells, tastes, and tangible and mind objects in the world is agreeable and pleasurable, and there this craving comes to end. There is cessation comes about. And that monk is called the noble truth of the cessation of suffering. Okay, so now finish this sutta, but I have something to share. Okay, since many years ago, I have taught to my students how to contemplate impermanence, how to contemplate non-self, how to contemplate cause and effect. I have been teaching this technique, I think, more than 5 or 6 years already. However, there are some common resistance in the sight of student. They resist to put this practice. They resist to put this technique into practice. Why? For what reasons? So after I discuss with many of my students, so we find out some reasons for the common resistance, why they cannot take in this technique and put into practice. First, because the perception of permanent is so strong, ingrained in the mind. So, and it's not our habit to see everything is impermanent, especially our happiness. We don't want our happiness become impermanent, right? But we want our pain to become impermanent, but we don't want our happiness to become impermanent. Therefore, it against our human nature to see things as impermanent. And especially when I ask them to note, to contemplate the mental state, for example, fear. Many people tell me they have fear. All human beings, men or women, they have fear, insecurity in their heart. And when the fear arises, then they react to the fear and they become really fearful. So when they come to me, I say, can you contemplate your fear as not a self, not a self, not a self? They cannot. They cannot get it. Why they cannot get it? So it's because since long, long time, since time immemorial, we have been identifying every of our mental state as self, as self. Therefore, when we want to contemplate our mental state as non-self, it sounds impossible. So this is the first reason why this technique cannot be applied by most of the students. The second reason is some of the students think that when I ask them to contemplate whatever arises in the mind and body, contemplate them as vanishing, anatta, anicca, not myself, cause and effect, and so on, the student think this is labeling meditation, which is not so. This is wise attention, not labeling. When you contemplate anicca or anatta, not self, this is called paying wise attention to the object you are observing. When you pay wise attention to the object you are observing, only then you can see things as they really are. For example, when you see your feeling pleasant feeling, if you do not pay wise attention, instead of paying attention of impermanent, you pay attention to permanent, then you cannot see things as they really are because you are not paying wise attention. So this is the second reason. The third reason is they feel that this technique is very mechanical, labeling, vanishing, impermanent, not self, like very mechanical. They feel boring. And simply because they don't understand the benefit of applying wise attention. So, owing to this few reasons, and other reasons I do not know, because I have to ask the feedback from the student again and again. So owing to these few reasons that most of the students cannot get it from my sharing of this technique. Some get it only after a few years. Very few person get it on the first talk. So, in order to show how important is the technique, how important is seeing things as they really are by contemplating according to three characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, as what Buddha said just now. Therefore, I quote from the sutta, how to bring the cessation, how to bring the suffering to cessation is by contemplating anicca, impermanent, suffering, non-self, as fearful, as empty of self, as affliction, as cancer, as alien, and so on. This is the direct teaching from the Buddha, and it's not a technique created by me. Okay, so I'd like to put an end to my sharing, and I would like to open for discussion now.